invite you to turn back with me to 1 Corinthians 15. We'll begin there tonight. We'll look at some other verses, but we've all heard the phrase, the power of positive thinking. There's other expressions that kind of go along with that thought, you know, mind over matter, or you can do whatever you set your mind to. Heard one say one time, if you can conceive it, you can achieve it. That's all that power of positive thinking. It's simply a humanistic approach to life, leaving God out of the picture. If our minds can conceive it and achieve it, who needs God? If it's simply the power of positive thinking that can accomplish whatever we set our minds to, who needs God? And so it's just a very humanistic approach to life. All of us would admit that it certainly is important to have a positive outlook on life. We certainly don't believe that everything should be negative and we should go around being grumpy and negative about everything. We understand how important it is to be positive in our thinking, but the problem with the humanistic approach is, ultimately, natural man has nothing to be positive about. You know, psychology today says, well, there's the power of positive thinking, and you need to be positive in your thinking for good mental health and for good well-being, but then they have really nothing to offer to give us positive thinking. They have no basis on which we can have a positive thinking. In fact, it comes right down to it in our modern society today, what is positive? There is no right or wrong. Everything's relative. There is no falsehood and truth. Everything's truth. Your truth is your truth. My truth is my truth. Even though those two views are totally opposite of each other, they're both truth. In today's world, how do you define what's positive? When there are no absolutes, when everything's relative, when there is no morality, nothing's immoral, nothing's moral, it's just all neutral. What is positive? And so the emphasis on positive thinking and the emphasis on having a positive outlook on life, when it comes right down to it, man has nothing to offer. They have no basis for positive thinking. They can't even define what's positive. But we as Christians should have a totally different outlook on life. And it can be positive. And so I want to address that this evening from several different passages and from several different approaches. Let's bow in prayer. Father, thank you so much for the opportunity to be together tonight, to fellowship with you, with one another, to look at your word. And certainly, Father, as believers, we can have a positive outlook on life that should reflect you and your glory. And Father, should have an impact on those around us as they would see us being so very different than the world. It's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. First, I want to address the thought of having a positive thinking about death. Positive thinking about death. You know, natural man really can't look at death in any kind of positive way. In other words, they live their life, and if they think about death, it's so uncertain. They really have no hope in death. Basically, it's we live our lives and we die and it's over. Nothing beyond death. Or if they do think about life beyond death, it's just very uncertain. It's a hope so, but not a know so. And so a natural man, we're told in Hebrews chapter 2 that natural man fears death. And through that fear of death, Satan keeps man in bondage. And so that's man's approach. That's man's view of death. They fear it, and because of that fear, they're in bondage to Satan. They have nothing to look forward to except death and uncertainty. What's after death? I don't know. I hope it's something, but I don't know. And so how in the world can natural man think positive about the future when they really have no hope in death? We, of course, as believers, have a totally different outlook on it. We can be positive even about death. It's not uncertain for us. We have no fear of death. As Christ has come, we think about Christmas time, he's come to die for us, and he rose again. And because of his resurrection, he has promised that we will also rise again. And we read earlier from 1 Corinthians 15, this corruptible will put on incorruption. This mortal will put on immortality. Man, that's positive thinking about death. And it goes on and says that there is no sting in death. Death is swallowed up in victory. Thanks be to God who gives us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. Death is victorious. It's not defeat, it's victorious. You've heard me say this many times. I love Philippians chapter 1. For me to live is Christ and to die is gain. And I emphasize all the time that it's an and there, not a but. For me to live is Christ, not but to die is gain. It's not that life and death are in contrast to each other. Death is simply an addition to my life in Christ. For me to live is Christ, and in addition to that, death is more of my life in Christ as I spend eternity with him. And so we have a hope. We have a certainty. We can be positive even about death. For natural man has nothing to be positive as far as their ultimate future is concerned. And so we wonder why there's so much negativity and there's so much mental health issues. It's because natural man cannot think positive about their ultimate destiny. So we can be positive even when it comes to death. We can be positive about life. Again, natural man, even when it comes to life itself. And I've been emphasizing this in our Sunday morning studies. You know, when you think about evolution, it just teaches that we are here by chance. It just kind of happened. I mentioned this morning, you know, some chemicals got together millions of years ago in spontaneous generation. Life just happened. And then through just a process that nobody was in control of, it just happened by chance that here we are. You know, we became a one cell, and then we became a fish, and then we became an animal, and then we a monkey, and here I am. You know, and so that's the basis of man's thinking. And so then, how can we think positive about life when it's just chance? It just happened. No one's in control. There's no real reason or purpose for it all. It just happened. We're just here by chance. There's no guiding principle. There's no purpose. And then psychologists say, think positive. Well, how can they think positive when there is no guiding principle, there is no purpose, there is no reason for life, it's just here by chance, it's just a big gamble. Nobody's in control. We have no idea where we're heading. There's no goal in mind. We're just here. And then we're told to think positive about it. No wonder people are coming to the conclusion that Solomon came to: life is vanity and vexation of spirit. Life is empty and chasing after the wind, because it's just a big gamble. There's no purpose, no rhyme, no reason to it all. No one's in control. How can they possibly think positive about life? But as believers, again, we have a totally different outlook, don't we? We're not here by chance. We're here by design. The Creator designed us specifically, and he's the one that's in control. We didn't just happen to be here, but he put us here for a reason, for a purpose. And he's in control. And there is a guiding principle to it all. And that guiding principle is the glory of the Creator. The glory of God is the guiding principle of it all. That's why he created what he did. Revelation chapter 4 and verse 11 talks about how he is worthy to receive glory and honor and power, for he created all things, and for his pleasure they were created. He created it for his pleasure. He created it for his glory. That's the guiding principle of it all, and he's in control. He has a plan, and he has a purpose, not only for creation as a whole, but for me as an individual. And so, yes, I can think positive about life because there's one who loves me, and he's designed me, and he has a plan for me, and he has a plan for all of creation, and we can rejoice in that. We can have a positive attitude towards life, and we can have a confidence and assurance that he's working all things together for good. You know, we think about Romans 8:28 often. All things work together for good. The word for there in that sentence, he works all things together for good. It's the Greek word hês. And the Greek word hês often is translated not with the word for, but unto. And it represents a goal. He works all things together unto good. In other words, that is his goal. And God's going to reach his goal. Every time, God's going to reach his goal. And so his goal is to work everything in my life, in your life, for good. Unto the good is where he's leading and where he's guiding. He's in control of it, and he will reach that goal. He's the potter. We're the clay. We sang about that tonight. He's the potter, and we're the clay. And as the potter works his clay, he's got a goal in mind. He knows exactly what he's making, knows exactly what he wants, and he's working that clay accordingly. And with that in mind, man, how can I not be positive about life? How can I not be positive about what God's doing? That's the only way to good mental health and well-being, is for us as believers to have that positive thinking about life. Let me also mention that just positive thinking about ourselves. You know, again, the modern psychologist talks a lot about self-image and self-esteem. As believers, we're the only ones that really can have that positive self-image, if you want to call it that. Again, we come back to the world's thinking and the natural man's thinking of evolution. We just kind of happen to be here. In essence, we're nothing but animals. We're just in the process of evolution. We've just come to the point where we are, but we're just animals. How can I have a positive self-image, positive self-esteem, if I'm just an animal? No different, really. Maybe a little more intelligence than my dog, but I'm really no different than my dog. How can I have a positive self-image with that in mind? Again, just here by chance, and I've made it this far, but I'm just an animal. As believers, we're not just animals, are we? We are created in the image of God. We emphasize that this morning. I really am tying this message in with our Genesis messages on Sunday mornings. But as we mentioned this morning, we are of great value. Not because of myself as such, but because God has breathed into us life. And it's God who has given us soul and spirit. And that's what makes us valuable. We're not just animals. Animals weren't created in the image of God. But man was. And that makes us unique. That makes us special. That makes us valuable. No place in the Bible does it say that God loves the animals. Don't get me wrong. I think God certainly loves his creation as such, but not in the same way he loves man. He doesn't love the animals like he loves man. He didn't send his son to die for the animals. He didn't send his son to save the animals. I'm sorry, but your pet Fido isn't going to be in heaven with you. They're not going to be saved. I'm not saying we're not going to have animals in the new heaven and the new earth, but it's not going to be your current pet. He didn't die to save the animals. He died to save man because man was valuable to him. Because man was created in the image of God and given that soul and spirit. And so we can have that positive self-image based upon the gift of God. But if we're just animals, how can I have a positive self-image? And so again, the modern psychologists can talk all they want about positive self-esteem and a positive self-image, but they have no basis. They have no basis on which to tell you to think positively about yourself. Go with me to Ephesians chapter 2, if you would. Ephesians 2, of course, is where we read in verses 8 and 9, "For by grace are you saved through faith, and that not of yourselves, it is the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast." Then verse 10, Ephesians 2, "For we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus unto good works, which God has before ordained that we should walk in them." We are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus. You know, when we trust Christ as our Savior, we are a new creation, created in Christ Jesus. That new creation is the life of Christ in us, and we live that new creation. But notice it says we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus. The word workmanship here is the Greek word poiema. The verb is poieo, and the verb poieo means to do, to accomplish, to carry out. It's the word that just means to do something or to accomplish something. And so the noun form, poiema, is the idea that we are his project that he's working on. He's accomplishing something as he works on us. He's doing something in us. So we're his workmanship. We are his project that he's working on. We are his project that he's doing something with. We're his project that he's actually accomplishing something with. And as we consider ourselves his project, he is working on us to bring us to good works, that we might do those good works. In other words, it's the process of sanctification, more and more being set apart from sin unto God. And he's working in us to accomplish that sanctification. He loves us. He loves us from creation through salvation, through sanctification, all the way to glorification. We're his workmanship. He's working on us to bring us to that glorification. As Philippians chapter 1, verse 6 says, "He who has begun a good work in us will accomplish it at the day of Christ." He is going to accomplish what he sets out to do. Man, that's positive thinking. I can trust in that. I can depend upon that. I can think about that. I can rejoice in that. God is working in my individual life. It's not just that he's working corporately with us. He's doing that too. But he's working with me. I am his workmanship. I'm his project. And he's going to finish and accomplish exactly what he wants to do in me. That's positive thinking. I can think positive about myself from that standpoint. Not because of any greatness in me, not because of any goodness in me as such, but because of what Christ has done and is doing in me. And then we come to the thought we can have positive thinking about others. Positive thinking about death, positive thinking about life, positive thinking about ourselves, and then positive thinking about others. Again, in our secular world, we're told to think positive about others and be kind to others, but again, on what basis? I'm an animal, you're an animal. Why should I be kind to you? Why should you be kind to me? We're just animals. And then you consider the relativism of our day. There are no absolutes. There is no absolute truth. There is no absolute right and wrong. There is no absolute morality. Everything's relative. And so my opinion is just as right as your opinion. Even if those opinions are totally opposite, mine's just as right as yours. Mine is just as much value as yours. And so what has that created in our society? It's just created a lot of selfish people. My opinion is just as valid as yours is. My truth is just as valid as your truth. And so why do I have to listen to you? Why should I listen to you? Why should I care even what you think? Why should I care what your opinion is? It's no more valuable than my opinion, so why should I listen to you? It's created a lot of selfishness. It's created a lot of narcissism. We're seeing more and more of that. You know, narcissism is selfishness on steroids. Narcissism cannot even empathize or sympathize with another person. Narcissism is so self-focused that there's just they don't even care at all about another person. Why? Because we're just animals, and my opinion is just as valid as yours. But as believers, we have a different view on that, don't we? There is an absolute truth. Absolute truth is right here. We govern our lives by that absolute truth. And in that absolute truth, again, we understand that every human being is created in the image of God. And with that absolute truth, we understand that every human being is valuable because God has given us life, soul, and spirit. And so we can look at others and we can say that person, even if their opinion is wrong, even if they have falsehood, which they think is truth, and it's contrary to Scripture, we still can recognize that they are created in the image of God. They are image bearers. We do need to value them. Lloyd said earlier, we're living where hate is strong. That's what we're seeing today in society. Hate is strong because if I disagree with you, I'm going to hate you. If you disagree with me, you're going to hate me. But as believers, we have a different outlook on that. We can disagree, and we know the truth is here, and you may not believe the truth, but that doesn't mean I have a right to hate you. You are valuable because of what God has done. And we need to love one another and because of what God has done. So we have that positive thinking about others as well. And then I conclude just with the thought, just positive thinking about our circumstances. Again, if we are here just by chance and we really are very uncertain about our eternal destiny, if there even is an eternity, and if there is, we really are very uncertain about it. That's the world today. That's natural man. And so therefore, all we have to live for is the here and now, this world. And so we have the resultant materialism. You know, you gotta just live it up now because that's all there is. And when my circumstances aren't very good, when my circumstances are less than ideal, how can I possibly think positively about that? Because this life is all I've got. And if this life isn't turning out so good, there's no way I can have positive thinking. If this life is all there is, if this world's all there is, then I've got to get everything I can out of this life. And if I can't get everything I can out of this life, my circumstances are such that life is not all that great, there's no way I can have positive thinking. But as believers, once again, we have a different view on that, don't we? Sometimes our circumstances may not be all that great in this life. But we've got a hope. We've got a life beyond this. This is not all there is. We can look forward to something greater and something better. And even in this life, in the circumstances that perhaps are less than ideal, we can look at it and say, you know what? God knows. God's in control. I can trust Him with it. Hebrews chapter 13, I just take you there in conclusion. We know the verse that God will never leave us nor forsake us. But I want you to notice what's tied in with that. In Hebrews chapter 13 and verse 5, let your manner of life be without covetousness, and be content with such things as you have, for He has said, I'll never leave you nor forsake you. You know, we quote that verse often, He'll never leave us nor forsake us, but in this verse, that promise is tied in with contentment. He says, let your manner of life be without covetousness and be content. Contentment without covetousness. How can we be content without covetousness? Well, he explains it. For. The word for is an explanation. We can be content without covetousness. And let me explain why, the writer of Hebrews says. Because God will never leave us nor forsake us. We've looked at that verse in the past. He'll never leave us. He'll never relax His hold on us, is the thought of that word. And He'll never forsake us. He'll never leave us in the lurch, is really kind of the thought of the Greek word. He'll never leave us in the lurch. He'll never leave us in need. So, if that promise, He's not going to relax His hold on me, and He's never going to leave me in need, I can be content with what I have. I can be content in my circumstances. I can be content in my situation. I don't need to covet more, because He's given me all I need. And I have the promise that He'll not leave me in need. And so we can have a totally positive outlook no matter what our circumstances. Positive outlook on death. Positive outlook on life. Positive outlook about ourselves. A positive outlook about others. And a positive outlook on our circumstances. The world has nothing to offer. No wonder mental health issues are so drastic today in our society. No wonder we see the well-being of people in that sense declining. Modern psychology has nothing to offer. No basis for positive thinking. They may talk about it a lot, but really, ultimately, no basis for it. I've often marveled the word psychology itself means the study of the soul. Many psychologists today don't even believe we have a soul. How can they possibly study the soul? God's Word has answers. We need to trust Him. Let's bow in prayer. Father, we thank You so much again for Your love and Your grace. Thank You that You have indeed given us a basis to think positively. May that positive thinking be evident in our lives. May others see it. There's no reason for us as believers to walk around being negative about life or negative about others or negative even about the future, for You're in control. And may that positive thinking be recognized in our lives so that it would open up doors of opportunity to tell others why we can be so positive. And it's in Jesus' name we pray. Shall we stand? Help us, Father, as we leave tonight. Give safety as we return to our homes. We thank you, Father, that you have given us your word and its truths. Help us to apply it to our lives. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Good evening. May God bless you.